Welcome to the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
This is a show that discusses the Bible and all things related to the Bible in a simple, fun format.
So if you're interested in theology, you don't consider yourself a theologian, that's fine. You found the right show.
We're your friends, Josh and Heather Tice. We minister to and lead Southern Hills Church in Las Vegas.
So, we always like to get started with a little fun. So, Heather, let's get started. Are you ready?
Oh, I am so ready.
Let's do it.
Josh, here we are, episode 27.
27.
We're going to be sharing verses or scriptures that we pray.
Yeah, I like this idea. Now, when I came up with this idea and I asked you about this, you were like, I'm not sure. And then I convinced you, right? Is that how this went down?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I think I have to take the creative props for this one. Though I will say it was easy to do because there are scriptures that we both pray.
Right. And I forgot, you know, in the sense of I forgot that. That's something we do, but maybe other people don't do,
right.
And that might be a good discussion.
And I honestly think you did it before I did. There's your props.
There are certain scriptures.
Way to lead the way.
Well,
oh, thou man.
There are certain scriptures that can be read and prayed themselves. And obviously, we all have our own prayer lists. We have our own ways to pray. But we're going to talk about specifically how to pray the scriptures.
But we are not there yet.
No, but you know why?
Why?
Because we always like to have a little fun.
Fun. That was your echo. Very high echo.
Okay, so what's the fun time that we
have? Okay, the fun question for today, and if you're listening with friends, be sure and share this with them. What is the worst hairstyle you have ever had?
The worst hairstyle I ever had.
This is
easy.
I haven't seen you with a bad hairstyle, but I can think of ones that you've told me about.
Okay, so when I was when I was 15 years old, I was working at a summer camp.
Oh, this was one of them.
And all of the guys that were older than me convinced me. They said, you would look awesome with a buzz cut. And I'm like, really? They're like, yeah, it's really cool. It's in style. You should get a buzz cut. And, you know, I'm like probably 92 pounds. 4'4".
And like 8 pounds of you as hair.
The only
right, like
thing,
8 pounds of you
like
as hair.
8 pounds of me as hair. The only thing I had going for me was my awesome,
luscious
locks.
It is your best feature. It's one of my favorite features is your awesome hair.
I can't
hair.
Disagree. Sometimes I walk by the mirror and I shock myself and I think, wow, that's great hair. But
he
I'm
does
sitting
have
there.
The most beautiful hair. And that was like high on my list of wants for a
So
spouse.
These fellas sat me down and they're like, you should shave your head. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to shave my head. Fantastic.
They
and
were jealous.
They sat me down.
So jealous of you.
They sat me down. They gave me a buzz cut. And it did not look
They tried to make you want to be
right.
cool with them, and they were just trying to make you not hot. And it didn't work, I'm
you know,
sure.
You
I
know,
didn't see pictures. You've told me about
I've
this.
I've got pictures. Here's
you
what
do.
I'm going to do. If somebody goes on to the Idea Talks podcast Facebook page, and if you request it, if you go on there and say, let me see the picture of you with the buzz cut, I will post it on that page. If nobody
do you
doesn't
really have
I'm
it, you're
do
make,
it.
Are you making promises you can't keep?
I literally have it.
Okay.
In my files.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it's something I'm sure people are dying to see
for you. So that was your worst haircut. My worst haircut. So I grew up as a child in the late '80s and '90s, and that was the days of the perm.
Yeah.
I've had so many perms. Y'all, I wanted that curly hair.
Yeah.
And I have cried in so many salon chairs because those perms do not look like curly hair.
No, they
don't.
They
look like a totally different beast.
Did you look like Mr. Brady?
Oh, yeah. Worse. Mr. Brady put me to shame. No, I wish I'd looked like Mr. Brady because I was pitiful. That's how bad.
Can we just stop and say that's a weird thing to
say?
Well,
no, that's how bad my perms were.
I wish I looked like Mr. Brady.
You don't know. It was like hideous. But the worst one I ever got, I remember it was the time of bangs, too, like big bangs were in. And so I'm getting my hair cut, and I'm getting some bangs cut in, and literally mid-haircut, the girl in the shop, because I had never been to her before, we were just trying the shop, she gets a phone call that her favorite uncle has just suddenly died.
No.
Like a tragic death. It's not like he's even been in the hospital. It's like, you know, car wreck or something.
No.
And I remember she is crying, and we're like, both my mom and I were like, you know, someone else can take over. You don't have to finish this. She's like, no, I can finish it. And I don't know why.
No, that's where you're like, go talk
I know.
To your auntie and please
yes.
send somebody to do my hair.
Yes, and I don't know why. I think she may have been the only one in the shop. Maybe that was why. But even then, like, we should have just left.
At this moment, but I have more compassion for you than this person.
Yes, and so she was crying and cutting and cutting and crying, and I had bangs for days. I've got pictures of these massive, I mean, like, more hair in the bangs than on my head. It was so bad.
Wait, hold on. So it was big.
It was real big.
What state did this happen in?
In Alabama.
No. So you walked out of a salon in Alabama with big hair? This is shocking.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I believe it.
But it was a bad haircut, y'all. It was really bad. And permed on top of that. So there was, like, if it wasn't big enough, then we put the perm in it. It's like explosion there.
Oh, my word. You know, the scripture talks a lot about hair. It actually does. Samson would pull his hair, right? Absalom would pull his hair.
Yeah.
So, the Bible actually talks quite a bit about hair, doesn't it?
I think there's a
Solomon talks about his lover and her long flowing locks.
Well, I think there's even a Christian hymn about hair.
Really?
And it goes something like this. I'm not going to sing it, but I'll say it and you can kind of sing it in your head.
Yeah.
There is coming a day when my hair won't fly away. No more dandruff, no grease. No more graying in the least. There'll be style forevermore on that happy, frizzless shore. What a day, glorious hair day, that will be. I just hope that just blessed your day.
I did not. I want to say, I want to apologize because she did not put that in the show notes.
I did not know that was coming. I was having a really bad hair day, and I was singing this to myself in the car. And then
Hold on, you wrote this?
I wrote it. And I thought it needs to be, like, shared.
Oh,
and I've been saving it. I had it on our Bible Talk notes, but I thought it's never going to come up. And look.
Yeah, well.
Here it is.
It was such a natural transition for you to bring that up. It's such a natural.
And it was right here on top. I feel like that was divine intervention, that the Lord led you in this conversation. Had my notes right on
top. It was just so natural.
Just so someone out there who's having a bad hair day listening to the Bible Talks could be blessed that there is coming a day, brother and sister, where you will have a good hair day eternally. Claim that truth. Live in it today.
That's a stretch. Look, it's you're acting like this is all, like, not planned. I see the notes. You had it on top of your notes.
I didn't know we were going to go there today.
And you were ready to share
your
rip-off hymn about hair frizzy. And I don't
frizzless
think...
Frizzless hair is about the glorification of our heads.
Okay. All right.
Why do you deny these powerful scriptural truths? It's because you're already blessed. You've already got your glorified hair, and you don't want the rest of us to dream and claim the victory that is coming.
Look, what I think you ought to do is look in the scripture.
I just got an and an amen from our producer, Crystal.
Yeah, Crystal. Look, Look, what you need to do is find a scripture that backs this up in the Bible that talks about the need to pray for better hair, because what we like to do is pray through the scriptures.
No, I'm claiming the truth here. You're transitioning.
I'm trying to segue.
Sorry. Of course, I will
do that. For the last
5 minutes,
I've tried to segue into scriptures that we pray. When do we learn this principle that you can actually pray the scriptures?
You know, I don't know, because I don't feel like an expert in it. I've heard people that actually pray through entire scripture. I remember for Ladies Retreat last year on spiritual warfare, I was praying some scriptures, passages over it, but I don't know. I think I may have heard it from you early in the marriage. I know one of the scriptures that you pray
I learned from my
father's Grandpa
mentor.
Wimp.
Yeah.
Yes. So why don't you start with that and share that one?
Sure. Well, first of all, there's got to be an understanding that not all scripture is prayable, right? There are certain passages that are not applicable to you, and they have nothing to do with you, and you should not be praying them. It comes to mind 1 Chronicles chapters 1 through 9. If you're not familiar, look it up. It's a list of names for 9 chapters.
Pray that.
It is the most boring passage in all the Bible. Now, for you to say, oh, no, you said that, go and read it and then come back and tell me how inspired you are. But this is a passage that you should not be praying every day. But there are passages that you can pray that have been very helpful. For example, I'll give my first one. I like praying the prayer of Jabez. Now, I had been praying this. There's a man named Wilkerson who produced a book called The Prayer of Jabez in the late 90s. But it was just a few years before that Sumner Wimp, who was actually a friend of Wilkerson's, shared this with my family. And we had a plaque in our home, and we all each were given plaques by my father's mentor.
I have to say, this is like the chicken or the egg. Was it Wilkerson or Wimp?
Wimp.
Which came first with this.
Wimp was much older. than Wilkerson, as well as his mentor. So maybe Wilkerson stole it from Wimp.
Or maybe we just go with Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun, and assume that this has been something
maybe it was Jabez who came up with it. Maybe it was Jabez. Anyway, in First Chronicles chapter 4, there's a very solitary verse, and all it says was there was a man named Jabez who called upon the God of Israel, saying, and it gives his prayer. It says, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, thou would enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me, thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And then it says something fascinating, and it's only stated a few times in all of the Bible. It says, "And God granted him that which he requested." So here's a man who prays a prayer, and God answers the prayer, and then we just skip right through it. And so actually what's fascinating about this is in the passage I just made fun of, 1 Chronicles chapter 1 through 9, which is filled with genealogies and names. Right in the middle of it, you find this guy named Jabez, and the Bible points him out and says, hey, here's a guy. He prayed a prayer, and God gave him his prayer request. Now, what does he pray? It's fascinating. God would bless him indeed. So I've been praying this prayer. This is no joke. I've been praying this prayer daily since I was 14 years old. Daily. Mm. Now, when I say every day, there's probably been a lot of days, you know, I've missed here or there. Anytime I pray through my prayer list, anytime I pray, and by the way, many times I don't get through my prayer list, this is the prayer I get on my knees in the morning without any other prayer. First thing I pray is through this prayer. I pray, God, I pray you'd bless me indeed. Bless me in any way you want to. Bless me in a general way. I'm not asking for specific prayers.
That goes into my hair day.
Right.
You could pray a blessing upon your hair.
Bless my hair. And I don't even pray for specifics in this moment. I pray for a general blessing. Bless me. Let me be blessed like you blessed Jacob, like you blessed Jabez,
like
you blessed Abraham.
So you're asking for surprise blessings.
Just pour out your blessing. Mm. Bless me indeed. And then I pray, enlarge my coast, my border, my ministry, my impact. Now, for the time of Chronicles, he would have been specifically talking about his land, his specific borders. Enlarge my borders. Give me more. And so he's talking not only a general blessing. He's saying, Lord, let my impact be great. I've been praying this for, now 25, almost going on 25 years, that thy hand might be with me. God, let your hand be upon me. Let it be obvious to myself and to others and to this world that the hand of God is upon Joshua, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Lord, this is very similar to what Jesus gives us in his Lord's Prayer, that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. The devil, the world, my own fleshly desires, I pray that you would just keep evil away from me. I pray that every day. And it's been a great blessing in my life. So as I pray these things, I think God has, through persistence, begun to answer some of these things.
And I've heard you pray that, and that may be the inspiration where some of these scriptures have worked their way into my prayer life. I have not actually ever prayed completely and consistently the prayer of Jabez. It's just not been something I felt led to do. Now, I do pray some aspects of that. In fact, that last one, I'm going to go ahead and piggyback on yours, because I do pray. It's on my actual prayer list written out. I say these exact words from the Lord's Prayer, that the Lord would lead me not into temptation, and that he would deliver me from the evil one.
Mm, that's a good one. Is that your first one that you're picking?
That was actually first on my list.
Oh, very cool.
I kind of went through, for the most part, somewhat order of my prayer list, but
mixed
up a little.
So just for those keeping track, number one, mine was the Jabez prayer. Number two, yours is an aspect of the Lord's Prayer.
Yes. And this started because as I grew in my faith, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, which we just talked about last episode, began to reveal more in my life of sins and issues, and I began to see struggle, and I remember being surprised at some of the things I was even tempted with.
Yes.
Things I never thought I would be tempted with, and I'm tempted with that. And, you know, the fight, there's victory there. God gives that victory, but the fight is long and hard sometimes. I remember thinking, I don't want to struggle with this. This is stupid. I hate this.
Yes.
And as I saw this in the scripture, I began praying it, that the Lord would specifically lead me away from temptation. Lord, I pray, I don't even want to face it today. Would you just remove it from my path, direct my path otherwise? And then when I do face it, I know it's from the enemy. Deliver me from the evil one, God. You've got to grant me deliverance, because I can't do it on myself. I'm too weak. I'm too tired. I'm just your weak little child trying to stand here, the little warrior child. God, deliver me.
I love it. I love it. All right. So that's your first one.
That's
I'll give
my
you my
one.
Second. Mm-hmm. The second one that I pray is in regards to Sorry, I lost my face. It's in regards to ministry. So okay. I pray through this in my what I call my spiritual prayer list, as I categorize. The second one that I pray is from 1 Kings chapter number 3, when I pray for wisdom. So I often pray for wisdom. Every day I pray for wisdom, and I pray, God, give me wisdom. And oftentimes I'll read this scripture to the Lord. This is when God comes to Solomon, and Solomon mm-hmm. is praying to him for wisdom. And Solomon says this. He says, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king in the place of David my father. And I am but a little child, and I know not how to go in or how to come out. That means I don't even know what I'm doing. Mm. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. He's basically saying, this is impossible, and I am not the guy for the job. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? So he basically comes to God and says, I am inadequate for this. So I need to have knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and I'm begging you to give me this. Mm-hmm. And I have that scripture, and I've prayed that to God many, many times as I look at the ministry God has called us to.
Oh, that's a beautiful prayer for anyone in leadership.
Yeah.
That is really good. This is interesting because we haven't talked about these. Yeah. And so I'm wondering if any of ours are going to overlap. That's one I don't pray. I mean, I do pray for wisdom, but not specifically from that passage or in those words.
I've prayed these words many, many times to God. I love where it says, I'm in the midst of thy people. Let's see. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. It is so difficult to know what is right and what is wrong.
Mm.
And this relates to our discussion on the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Bible is very certain on some things, very clear. But on some things, the Bible does not speak directly. The only way to know what is right and wrong is through a personal relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. And mm-hmm. so I believe praying this has given me wisdom to say, you know what, this is right, this is wrong. And to be able to discern between, and that really leads into the next prayer which I pray, and that's for discernment. So,
Are you going to number 3?
No. That's I'm not even going to bring that one up. But I pray specifically because that's not a prayer in the Bible.
Oh,
so this is a prayer in the Bible that I pray to God.
Oh, okay. That was all you
number
wanted to say.
Number 2. Then? Yeah. So mine was Jabez and then Solomon's prayer for wisdom. I pray that almost every day.
The next one I started praying, and it's one for anyone, not just parents, but anyone who has a child or young person that they're praying for. So this, the Lord put on my heart, and I began praying for it after I read it in Luke 2:52. It's about our Lord when he was a child, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Well, that just hit me, so I put it in my prayer list, and I began praying it for, I don't remember how long, 6 to 9 months. Lord, help our children, help Jonathan, Savannah, and Scarlett to grow in favor, give them favor with the people around them, with their teachers, with leaders, with any adults that are around, and in favor with you. And then as I was praying it, I realized, I began thinking about it. I thought, favor with God. What does that mean? How do you grow in favor with God? Because we can't make God love us more or love us less. But the word that's used here is not translated love. I looked it up. It's more often translated grace. It's the idea of charis. It's used 156 times in 147 different verses. It means that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, goodwill, the token or proof of grace or benefit. So what I'm praying for my kids is that they don't ignore the Holy Spirit's conviction in their lives and continue in sin, because that can hold back his grace or favor. He can't bless them as he would like to. He can't give them the opportunity to serve him in a greater way if they're not yielding to him. He can't strengthen them as he desires to.
Yes.
Instead, he'll have to bring hard things into their lives. He'll have to hold back his favor. The other thing that I think about is that I want them to humbly cry out for him and realize they can't do anything without him, that they need that charis, that grace to strengthen them in their weakness and have his favor increase toward them. So that's kind of what I pray for our kids, that they would increase with favor with God and man.
I love it. I think that's an incredible prayer to pray. Okay, so let me move on. I've got another one from the book of Colossians chapter 4 that I pray before I preach. And I love this one. I don't pray this every time before I preach. I probably need to start. I wrote it in a Bible years ago, and before I would get up and preach, I would read it and pray it to the Lord. And then I stopped preaching out of that specific Bible, and I need to put it in my new one. But I pray this. Colossians chapter 4, Paul is speaking to the church at Colossae. He's closing out his letter, and he basically says, pray for me that I will be able to, and then he goes into a prayer. And so I pray that prayer for myself. And this is what it is, verses 3 through 6. This is how I pray it. Same words, but I put it personally where he says, pray for me. So this is what I pray. I pray that God would open to me a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walking in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let my speech always be seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, that I may know how I ought to answer each one. So for me, this is a preaching or teaching prayer. I'll walk through it briefly. It's very powerful. I pray that God would open to me the door for the word. That is, God, open this door as I'm about to preach your word. I pray that their minds would be open, their eyes would be open, their ears will be open, that I would be able to speak the mystery of Christ, that I would be able to literally unveil who Christ is to these people, for which I am also in chains. Now, Paul was physically in chains. But he also is a servant, a bond servant. He was chained to Christ. And so I often get that visual image of, I am chained to you. I am a servant of yours, and that I may make manifest, that is, unveil and say what I ought to say. He literally says that I will speak the words you want me to speak. Walking in wisdom toward those that are outside. Now, in Paul's teaching, those that are outside are non-Christians, that I would be able to speak to those who are not Christians, redeeming the time because they may only be here once. So taking advantage of this time, let my speech always be seasoned, be always with grace, seasoned with salt. That is, season my speaking. Let it be flavorful. Let it be interesting to people. Let it be flavorful is the idea, and that the grace of God would flow through it, and that I may know how I ought to answer each one. And when I pray that, I think specifically, there are going to be questions that rise up, and help me to answer the questions that are rising up in the minds and the hearts of people. So this is a prayer that Paul asked others to pray for him. This is one that I pray for myself when it comes to speaking and preaching and teaching.
I think this is really fascinating because so far our scripture prayers have been vastly different. I notice that all of yours tend to be almost more list-like. It's got all these, it's almost like a little mini sermon. You know, have you noticed that? And mine are, I'm the simple one here because I've got just like, here's a statement.
Very interesting. Yeah, you're right. I can see that distinction. Yeah.
So, and my third one and is it's kind not, of along the same lines.
I want to be very clear.
It's very brief.
Well, it's not that I'm a better person. I don't want our audience
maybe
to think.
Maybe you have greater need.
That Josh is clearly a better prayer. And some might, a lot of people might jump to that assumption. You're listening to this thing. Clearly, Josh is better than Heather. I know. Crystal's over there shaking her head, thinking, "Absolutely, yes, I can see that." But that's not the case. Okay, these are just different scriptures.
Yeah. So
this is not a competition.
It's just the point is, it's neat to see how God will use the scriptures, different scriptures.
Right.
Again, the Holy Spirit will use different ones in different lives, and even how we focus them in our prayers.
Yeah.
So my third one is similar to my others. It's very brief. This is one I pray for occasionally myself, but most often for friends that I know that are discouraged, especially in ministry. This comes from God's servant David in Psalm 13:3. He's praying out to God. He's so discouraged in this whole psalm. And this phrase caught my eye.
Yeah.
And that's kind of funny. That's almost punny because the phrase is, lighten mine eyes. And when I read that, he says, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He says, Lord, I'm so discouraged. I'm so overwhelmed with the attacks from my enemy. And I just need you to lighten my eyes.
Yeah.
And that's what I think of. I just think, Lord, you need to just move the darkness away.
Yeah.
There's so much discouragement. It's like this cloud around them. And they can't see you for the cloud. They can't see you at work. They can't see sometimes your promises. Lord, just lighten their eyes. And so this is a phrase that I literally will pray as I pray over. I've got a list of people in ministry.
Yeah, that's
good. I'll pray this scripture over them. They don't even know that.
Or before counseling someone. I never thought about that. Lord, lighten their eyes. Let them see what they cannot see.
I pray that, and sometimes a friend will text me that they're discouraged, and sometimes I've even texted them back. I'm praying that God will lighten your eyes.
Boy, that's good. I like that one.
So that's a big one that I use quite a bit that comes directly from the
Scripture. Now, some of these people that are listening might be thinking, well, don't you already know all of Heather's and Josh? Heather knows all of Josh. No, because we don't talk. Other than this podcast, what was the last time we talked? 6 weeks ago, right?
When I think it was eight. I don't know. No.
No, but we didn't know these, right?
We didn't know these, yeah. And I think that's because while I had heard you pray Jabez's prayer, but we don't pray through our complete list for one another,
right. Yeah.
Or with one another aloud, because that would take forever.
Yeah,
right. Like, I mean, you
we
can pray. Not that we pray
raise,
forever all the time. Like Josh said, there are times you don't get through your whole prayer list. But man, you could never run out of things to pray. I'm just talking with Jesus about all the needs.
I love that. Where's that passage found?
It's in Psalms 13. And it's verse 3.
All right. For my next one, I'm going to move to the New Testament.
And this is the final one. Is it your final one?
It's not my final one. You have four.
You
I have five, but
okay.
I started.
Cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater.
So this is my fourth. And this is the one I pray for the family of God, the church. And this one, I've only prayed this last year, but I've begun to pray quite a bit and have this focus and this heart for it. It's Jesus's prayer. And Jesus prays in John 17, he prays for the kingdom of God or the church universal or so what some would call the family of God. He prays for his followers, and he prays to the Father. This is fascinating to me. Imagine being able to eavesdrop on a conversation among the Trinity where Jesus is literally talking to the Father. What would he say? What would be said there? And this is what he says, "Neither pray I for these alone." He's talking about his disciples. Jesus says, "I'm not just praying for my disciples." He says, "I'm also praying for those that shall believe on me through their word." He's talking about Christians that would come after the disciples. "That they will all be as one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us." Now, this is fascinating because what is he doing? Jesus is saying, "God, I know how the disciples are, and they're constantly bickering about little issues, and they're talking about who's greater than the other and who's going to be most important." And he sees that that's going to be what the descendants of the disciples will do. They'll fight among each other. Who's going to be better? Who's the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus, one of the only prayers we ever understand that Jesus says to the Father, and he says, "Oh God, Father, please help." This is the high priestly prayer. "Help them. Help them to be unified like we are unified." Mm. And he says, "I want them to be so unified, it's like the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are unified." And then he gives a reason. "That the world may believe that thou hast sent me." The only way the world will know that Jesus is Messiah is if Christians are unified. So I pray, it goes on, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I give them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that thou mayest be perfect, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them and thou as thou hast loved me." So what is he stating here? It's beautiful. He's stating the only way the world will hear and know of the gospel of Jesus Christ is if the church is unified. And oftentimes we don't have that.
I love
unity.
That because as the more I study the New Testament and the epistles to the church, there is more talked about unity than almost anything else.
Yeah.
Oh, so much. The importance that God places on that is just fundamental.
And this
fundamental.
Is, Jesus is clearly not talking about unity within a local church like Colossians or Ephesus, though the importance of unity in the local church is huge.
Right.
He's talking about unity among all his followers and descendants. Wow.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if I never read John chapter 17. And I began to say, you know what? I'm going to start praying what Jesus prayed. Mm. Wow. So that's really been a big one, yeah.
I will admit that I have specific things I pray for our local assembly, for our church, and unity is one of them.
Yeah.
But I don't pray it directly, like from that scripture and that wording or anything. Yeah. But yeah. Okay.
So what's your number four?
My last one is one that I just began praying last week. Mm. So here's my story and my testimony. You know a little bit about this, but I was just going through a time of not major discouragement, but something was just off. I was still reading my Bible, praying. I could still get up on Sunday morning and worship and just, you know, praise the Lord. But there was just kind of a something lacking, kind of a sadness, I guess, underneath, and a little bit of what they call ministry burnout. And it wasn't going away, even though I got physical rest. And I remember I had the chance to go visit my dad in Chattanooga for a couple days.
Yeah.
And I was laying in bed one night there, and Scarlett was next to me. She was on this trip. She's asleep. And I just couldn't sleep. And I'm talking in my heart, my spirit, with the Lord about this. I said, Lord, I don't even know what's wrong, God. I can't put my finger on it. But I know you know what it is. It's kind of like what we talked about with the Holy Spirit, praying when we don't know what to pray.
Yeah.
He makes intercession for us. I was at that point, and I began going through Psalm 23 and kind of just claiming that and reciting it to the Lord over and over. And when I got to this point, it was what I needed.
Mm.
And it says, He restoreth our soul.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I don't know all that's lacking here, but I need you to restore my soul.
Mm.
I can't go back and do the things you've called me to do.
Boy, that's good, yeah.
Unless you are going to give some restoration here. Lord, you've got to fix what's hurting and broken inside me. And I'm telling you, when I began praying that, that's specifically what brought the, whatever you want to call it, the re-energizing.
No, I think regeneration. That's exactly.
Oh my goodness. But that's what brought the restoration and brought me back to service mode. It was amazing because I came back, I will say, full within the next day of getting back. Because again, I was praying this for a few days.
Yeah.
But immediately there were some things that I needed to carry spiritually for friends, for co-laborers, some things that I needed to be ready to help bolster them in spirit.
Yeah,
and I know
that
I couldn't have done that if the Lord had not restored my soul. And this is something I literally added to my prayer list. So it's something I'm praying continually now, Lord. I need you to do this for me.
I love it. I look, that's so good. I don't think we should go on. I think we should end with that four. You gave four. I gave four. People say, what are the next ones?
Fair, square, and fair.
It's fair, you know? And we're all about fairness and equality here at the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather. So I think from that point, we'll just say, hey, this was episode number 27.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it, and I hope that you'll share with us any scriptures that perhaps you're praying directly from the scriptures regularly.
Hey, you know what? We got another review.
Ooh,
on our iTunes
tell
podcast.
Tell us about it, Josh.
Now, somebody might be thinking, how do you go onto iTunes and put a iTunes review on podcast? It's very easy. You go to open the iTunes app. You go to the actual iTunes podcast, and then you click 5 stars and you put a review. This is what we just received. This is from P.D. Toppins. He says, love to listen to Josh and Heather. They have a way of making you feel like you're literally in the same room as them, having a great conversation. I have laughed with them and even cried, but most of all, I have grown closer to God and my wife through their ministry. It's a must listen. Hey, man, we are so thankful you and your wife are listening to this and encouraging you to have Bible Talks yourself.
PD, you're going to make me cry.
Yeah, PD. I like that. We'll call you PD from now on.
PD.
Yeah. Anyway, we are glad that you're listening. And if you would like to rate and review, just go to iTunes Podcast and give us 5 stars. Every time you do that, it bumps us up in the algorithms, and other people can find this podcast and listen and be encouraged as well.
So bump it up.
Bump it up.
All right. Thanks for listening with us today. The next podcast, I was going to say tomorrow, but it'll be
next week. Yep.
You'll have to wait a whole just terrible, long,
isn't it difficult
exhausting
being so far away from us?
7 days.
7 days to
have, before you get to hear this.
If you're in Las Vegas on vacation, or if you live in Las Vegas, unless you're part of another church, you could come see us every week at church in person.
Yes, at Southern Hills. But in 7 days, the next podcast, we are going to be doing Marriage Talks Part 2.
Ooh, this one should be good. The last one led us to counseling.
Yeah.
That's not true. Hey, one thing we always like to leave you with is this. Remember, when the Bible talks,
we better listen.